You are now listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tyranny Podcast.
Welcome to Ride With Me, episode 93. Today is March 26, 2023, and today's guest, again, Ricky's co-host replacement, Marlena.
Hey, finally. I figured it'd be the last episode that you'd go ahead and announce me being your co-host.
Oh, yeah, Ricky. I spoke to him today. He was asking, hey, where's that new podcast episode at? I'm like, no, man, it's just, we've been busy. She's been busy. So he was like making count. Hey, man, I've been on your podcast 6 times, right? My bro, you've been on there way more times than just 6. You know, he's like, well, what's going on? Oh, because he wanted to be here today.
What time does he get off work?
Oh, no. I told him no because we had a little joke for him, which was the opening of the podcast.
Yeah.
And Ricky, your replacement is here.
I have arrived.
And he hit me up and I was like, you know what, honestly, I haven't heard from her. I'm sure she'll hit me up. And then he was asking about the podcast because he listens to every single episode, so he's been listening to your story as well. So
I appreciate that. That's awesome.
So he said, hey, what happened to he's really honest when it comes down to certain things. And when he called me up and he's like, no, he talked about, you know, you're talking about your mom, and he gave his 2 cents. He's like, oh, I don't know, low key, I don't know, her mom was, I don't know. So, but because we are because of our upbringing. So yeah, he was he always gives me feedback. Like a long time ago, he even told me, hey, you're getting a little too dark when it comes to talking about the mother of your kids, bro. You gotta cut back. So he's real.
We'll need to have a conversation with Officer Ricky. So hopefully when you have me back on for our next episode, since I'm now co-host, we can bring him on as a guest.
Right, we can bring him on as a guest. he was just, like I said, he's just hitting me up about the podcast. I'm like, yeah.
That's good, though.
So yeah, how was your week? I know usually we just touch up on our weeks. How was
you're right. We usually touch up and we usually keep in touch throughout the week, and we didn't get to do that because it has been quite a week. My stepson came back. He was living in Houston. He decided to come back and help out with the business, hoping to give him some more responsibility. So he came in, and that was kind of like getting a new, having him, it's like our routine. And getting that, getting used to having him back home. And then we just had today was funny because we've been talking all week about changing my brakes, doing the brake pads on my car. And we've been building ourselves up to that, to the weekend, and to like Jeff playing with my daughter Call of Duty. So we've honestly, all the things that we had planned did not get happen for the weekend. None of it. We ended up going to O'Reilly's and Target and doing all this other extra stuff that just kind of didn't plan, but we did it, and he helped me do my brakes and it was fun. So it was a good time, but it's been a week. So how was your week?
Honestly, the week was fine. The work week was fine. My son's track meet was on Thursday. I went to that. I got to meet some of his friends' parents, socialize with them for a minute, and then you know, my thing about photography, so I have to take photos of my son while he's doing his track meet. He does like the 100 meter, the long jump, and then the I'm gonna butcher this one, the one where you grab that little heavy ball and you toss it over your shoulder.
Yeah, shot put.
Shot put, that one.
Yeah.
And he does those 3 events, but I was there. I got there a little bit late because usually, well, the track meet before that, He didn't start doing anything until like an hour later. Mm-hmm. So I got there an hour later, and then I missed the shot put. I'm like, oh, come on. And then I got the social.
What's he best at out of the
I feel he's better season. At long jump.
Yeah.
Long jump.
Those are hard events. That's long jump's crazy. Like, you don't, in a track meet, I don't think long jump as like in my mind, I'm like, that's not an event, but go out there and try it. It's like hard.
He's not a runner. He's not a runner. So that's why he only does 100 meter. And then I feel like his strength is to long jump because mm-hmm. he has multiple practices and jumping before you can count his score. in the 100 yard or meters, whatever it's called. That one run, that's it. Whatever he got, he got. Can it help the team? Yeah. Can it not? No. But that's the one and done. So when he does the long jump, he at least has multiple opportunities to improve his score. So yeah. I guess they get three total that jumps that count, but I think unlimited warm-ups. So
yeah,
he likes it. It's my wife. My wife did cross track when she was in high school, and obviously, the difference between the motivation in kids today compared to the kids, you know, back then. And she was like, because she kind of told him, hey man, if you're not gonna put your effort into it, you know, you're wasting dad's gas because he has to drive back and forth to go pick you guys up. Because they don't go to school around the corner. They go to school in a different city.
Yeah.
Hashtag the first in and out. Anyways. And and so it's not down the street. So it is a little drive. But she called me on Thursday and she was like, hey, what's give me an update. What's going on? And I'm like, well, he's about to do his long jumps. And she's like, should I even bother to go over there? By the time you get here, he'll probably be jumping already, so it'll be pointless. And then she did the same thing about him, you know, trying a little bit harder. And I told her, regardless of him trying or not, to me, this is heaven. Because I'm watching my kid experience the high school experience, you know?
Right,
because I didn't have that. You know, I didn't have the like That's I said, right. I wish I had. Been able to play football when I was in high school, so he's experiencing, he's living that high school.
Yeah, and you're living through him.
Exactly. Sort of. So yeah, just watching him practice and jump and socializing with his friends, and then I ended up one of his best friends. So once a year, the radio show that I listen to invites us to Knott's Berry Farm. Mm-hmm. So we had an extra ticket. And we took his best friend, and his name's Nathan. So when I see Nathan warming up, I start yelling from the stands, Nathan, and he turns around. I came here for you, buddy. And he just gives me the thumbs up. And but my son's like, really, Dad? Like, he knows, but they know I'm joking. Like, other parents were like kind of like laughing at that, but they knew that I was just joking with my son. But I love going and watching him and just try his best.
That's good. My daughter, I thought she was going to do something with track. We went to open house, and she's in the sixth grade, and her coach was talking about next year and signing up for classes. And she asked, you know, she was thinking about doing athletics, that she's, you know, was pretty much her best runner. And she's like, I thought first year you were going to do track. And Danielle's like, no, I'll hold a clipboard though. Then she was like, you know, as a matter of fact, I need somebody to time or to hold the timer or whatever. So maybe we can work on that. And Danielle's like, equipment manager for sure. Definitely. She says, but to run, I don't think so. She says, I cannot run. She's a damn good runner. Like, I went and sat. I watched, she's only in PE. She's like, Mom, you want to come watch me run? And she did like a mile under like a 9 minutes or something. I can't remember for sure what the time was. And, she was like, I mean, she knocked it out. It was just insane. And, I for sure thought that she was going to run. I thought we went and got her some shoes. She's like, I want to run. And then after a couple of Wednesdays of running and doing circuits, she's like, nah. She's like, I don't think so. She's like, I don't want to do that. So, but I never did track either because track wasn't my thing. And I didn't, I always thought long jump was too hard and shot put. I didn't think I could throw it long enough, you know, far enough. And I guess I was a big doubter. I doubted myself.
Yeah, hey, when he does the long jumps, he has the coach there that actually, you know, scores their jump or measures their jump. And she knows where I'm standing, and she'll look up at me and gives me either the thumbs up or the thumbs down to tell me whether his jump was better than the one before or. And when it's a thumbs down, I'm like, that's it, kid. You're not having dinner tonight.
I don't know how they score that. I wish I knew.
The long jump is just distance. It's just distance. Yeah, they just measure distance. Yeah. Same thing for shot put.
The only thing I do know is band.
Well, they're also, my son, Nicholas was also in band in junior high. And I don't know if it was you who I said. Oh, we said the cheating about how he tried to use the music from YouTube.
Yeah, he tried to, yeah.
Yeah. And then the little one's in band now, but he's about to go to high school next year. But ever since Nick went to high school, he's just been doing track. And I'm like, can you at least even try to play football? Nope.
I saw them on your Facebook. Yeah, they look like they could play football. My son, who's in the eighth grade, he'll go to ninth grade next year. He's probably 6 foot now, and he's built at like a lineman for sure. And he doesn't want to do that. I always ask him, "Are you going to wrestle?" And he's like, "Nah." But he's playing. He's weightlifting. He's weight training with Jeff. So he's bodybuilding for sure. Looks great. But he's in band in music. So I love to tease them. So I will go. That's the closest thing to a competition I can do, or a sport event. So I like go to his competitions or like his UIL. Here lately, he's like, no, mom. He's like, you don't need to go. He's like, yeah. But before, when I was like during football season and they were doing like marching band season, they were getting to go watch all the high school perform. Definitely, yeah. I was there making, okay, hey, James, or you have a girlfriend, or who's this? And everybody, hi, Ms. Brown, or hi, Ms. B.
It's our job to embarrass.
Whenever you embarrass the heck out of them.
I was just about to say that. It's our job to embarrass our kids.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And my favorite, I mean, I love to and I always tell him too, I was like, or I tell my kids, like, because now, like, this is the only year they're in the same building together. So I always tell the small Danielle, you know, when you see your brother, make sure you holler at him or make some big, like, obnoxious gesture to say hello and to say, to annoy him. And the opposite, vice versa, I always tell him the same thing. But it kind of backfired because the eldest is really good friends with the principal. And, like, the whole student body knows him. So, like, they're always asking her, is James your brother? Is that your brother? And then he's the tallest kid with only red hair. He looks like he's got, so you see my hair right now, it's everywhere. So his hair looks just like this, but it's red. And he looks like a lion, right? So he's got this like Mufasa mane, and he's really easy to, he's like the only one like him. So everybody's like, that's your brother? That's your brother? So she's just always like, mom, everybody knows him.
I told my son after his meet on Thursday, I'm like, look, kid, how far is a meter or 100 meters from our house? Because our uncle lives down the street. So is it past Theo Sippy's house, or is it at Sippy's house, or a little bit farther? He goes, why, Dad? What's the point? My point is that if I smoke you at your own game, I'm going to go to your school and I'm going to show all your teammates your baby photos. He's like, really? I'm in this picture, Nick decided to scratch his face. In this picture, Nick decided to scratch his face again. In this picture, he's like, I couldn't control it, Dad. I was a baby.
Did you say Sippy?
Uncle Sippy.
I had an Uncle Sippy, Theo Sippy, my grandfather's brother. Yeah. I was like, did you say Theo Sippy? I was like, what?
Look at that. Another thing in common.
Cipriano. What's his real name? Cipriano.
Cipriano.
What?
Yeah. My wife's grandpa's name was Cipriano, and he's Sippy Jr.
That's crazy.
So he would jump for my wife. He says that my wife is his favorite out of all the nieces that he has. My wife's his favorite. So one day we were driving to Adelanto to go meet the desert, and we were driving, and he was being an uncle and opening his heart. And he was telling me, you know what, mijo, you'll never hear me say this again, but I love you. I'm like, wait, let me record this. You got to say that shit again. and then we get to her other uncle's house in Adelanto. His name is Jerry. And
so I have an Uncle Jerry too.
So they started talking to me about, you know what? The only reason why you're still standing here is because our niece loves you very much, and we love her. So once they told me that, I started getting cocky, and I started kind of like answering.
He said I started getting cocky.
Yeah, I started answering back to them, and we were at a grocery store, and they're like, "Oh, you're getting brave now because we told you you're not gonna die, right?" So I just walked away like, ooh. But yeah, he's he's been nothing but good to me, so I have nothing bad to say about the man. And yeah, he just lives about three houses down from here.
That's so funny.
He celebrates a birthday with my son, with Nick.
Well, that's funny. That's cool, though. I wasn't really close to him. I just knew that he was my uncle's brother, and he lived fairly close to my. I think for a while, I think they lived across from each other.
Yeah.
But I don't even know him that well. But I didn't know him that well. I just know we had a Theosippi.
Yeah.
Okay. Cipriano, that's so funny. Yeah, that's just hilarious.
Yeah, it's a trip, right? There we go. Every episode we find we have a connection of some.
There's
some
something
sort.
There. That's where I told you. It's okay because it's still fun. It makes it. Well, it's not. It's an organic.
Right. Like I said, the first time I there's been podcasts where I'm talking to the people, my guests for the very first time. And but anyways, anything else exciting in the week besides doing your own breaks? Because I'll take my car to the shop. I'm that kind of guy.
I save some shit. We save like $600. Doing it ourselves. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun being able to do it ourselves too, because he taught me something new and I really didn't know. I mean, I kind of knew, but didn't know. And like, I actually got to do it this time because he was like, no, I'm just going to sit here and you're going to do it. And I was like, nuh-uh. He's like, yeah. So I kind of did it myself. It was pretty cool. That was fun. And I didn't think I was going to.
When I do take the car to like Uncle Sippy, when I do need help, he's a what they call a jack of all trades, and I'll tell him, Uncle Sippy, I just need you to guide me to make sure I'll do the work. I just need you to guide me to make sure I'm doing it right. Hence, he's going to do it. Watch. So I struggle, and he'll take over.
Yeah. That's how all my uncles are. Like my Uncle Samson. He's like that. You ask him to do a job or you ask him to help you do something and he's got to take over the entire project and he's got to tell you how to do it. Like I asked him one time to help me do I wanted to go visit my mom and I was trying to make it a regular thing because I hadn't gone back very often. So I said, if I go, I'm going to do something at your house every time I go. I said, but I need a little bit of help. Like I need guidance, especially tools because I'm in my car. It's a little Lexus. I can't take a ladder or, you know, drywall or whatever. I said, so if he can just lend me his tools and maybe his guidance, I will do all the work. Like right. He has no business doing what he's doing nowadays because he's, you know, his back's injured and he just shouldn't be doing it anymore. And anyways, but he's got to take the whole project over. And I remember one day we were out there and I mean, like this is in my entire life. He's been that way. Like even with Jeff, we'd go do projects with him, plumbing projects. He's the one who taught me a lot about cars, a little bit about electricity or electrical work, but mostly plumbing, stuff like that that I've learned from him. And the same thing, he's got to tell you or it's got to be his way, no way. And he just takes care of the whole project. We went and installed this door. And if you've ever installed a door, you have to like get the wedges to make sure that it's all level. And well, he was like shutting this door and slamming it and shutting it. It wasn't catching, right? And we both got into it. And I was like, Sam, I was like, it's not going to fucking work if you keep slamming it that way. And it was just one of those situations where I was like, but he's real fun, though. But they always ended up doing it anyway. And he ended up doing it and it was right. And the door shut. And it was going the long way around it. And it was frustrating me and it was frustrating him. But he was trying to teach me a lesson in the long way.
I got to a point where I would do my own oil changes and stuff and brake pads and everything when Frank was around. My buddy Frank, when he passed away last year, but he was like my mentor, like my dad. He was also a jack of all trades. And he taught me a bunch of stuff when I was a kid. But then the moment I started making money where I felt like I can pay someone to do the shit for me,
yeah,
I just pay someone to do the shit for me. So, like, I've had this car for a year now, and I still can't tell you what under the hood looks like because I've never opened the hood once. I just take it to the shop. But if you need an entertainment center build or you need speakers outside your house and you need a whole entertainment setup, I'm your guy. I'll come set it up for you. You know, we had my mother-in-law has and entertainment speakers and the projector and everything outside, but the speakers weren't working for years, and no one ever bothered to go check on them. So one day, because it was an important event, and they're like, hey, well, can we get the speakers going? So there I am at freaking 6 in the afternoon on a freaking work week during the week to go freaking make sure these speakers work for the next day. I got them going, but I was just like, fuck this shit. But like I said, I got it going. Like,
yeah,
I had a guy come over because I sold these microphone stands a couple of days ago. The desk stands. I don't need them anymore. Obviously, I have these things. And he came and looked at the setup, and he's like, holy shit, your shit looks way better than mine. I'm like, I've been doing this for 3 years, bro. You're barely going to start yours. And when it comes to, I may not do a really good job at, you know, wrapping the wires properly, but everything works. It's all that matters.
My husband's really good at that kind of thing, too. And that's kind of where our business got evolved. Because he started to, like you said, you have a family member who's a jack of all trades. My husband's that way. He's a jack of all trades. Yeah. And he knows just about everything, and he masters everything. So it's a lot of fun to learn new stuff. And that's like when we have our business is remodeling. So I can do anything from, you know, framing to laying foundation to plumbing, drywall, you know, everything. I can, you know, tape and float, texture, paint, you know, and a lot of that's because we grew our business the past 16 years doing that together. And a lot of those traits we learned from our my uncles that passed those down, but a lot of it we picked up and learned along the way and perfected a lot of the skills. So I like to do a lot of it. You say we pay somebody else. We're those people you pay.
Yeah, right. Right.
We are those people you pay. We have a lot of clients.
Do you guys travel?
Do we travel? Yeah. No. We don't travel. Not yet, but we could, you know, if it got to be where we could travel, definitely extend the business. Right now we're covering the whole DFW area. But definitely that would be awesome though if we could expand at that. That's what we're trying to do. That's why our oldest son came back, so that he could take on more responsibility. So, like, give him more contracts and more more clients. A lot of our clients are already familiar with who he is, and we've already kind of built our clientele. So it'd be nice to do those little things, like you said, handyman jobs?
Yeah.
So, like, installing a ceiling fan or a light switch, fixing a light switch. My son can do all of that. All right. Yesterday he was, and he goes and they'll pay him by the hour or they'll have him for the day or whatever. Or he'll go do a project and then anything else added on to that. So that's what we're trying to get him to do so that he can take on more, like I said, more responsibilities. Right. Because it's fun. It's fun. I learned a lot with him. We grew our business a lot like that. And, our 28th will be 16 year anniversary.
Well, so, let's get into how we got to meet Pants.
How we got to meet Pants? Hey, I met him in Austin. That's so funny that you said that with Pants, because he is the pants. He wears the pants, but I pretend like I wear them. And, you know, I give him full credit for that. When I met him in Austin, and I was in a bad place. That's whenever I was with Square, and I was going through my whole... I was going through my phase, my drug phase at that point. And that's when when we first talked, I don't know, did we talk about how I actually met him
friend's house, and he was legs or something like that. Yeah, his legs, nice
it
legs
was his
and
arms.
Nice arms. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. So yeah, and then we got married. Like I said, on the 28th, we'll be 16 years. We got married because we got married within a couple of weeks. But he told me that if I ever touched that shit again, that it was going to be done. But at that time too, I vowed at that moment to like have complete honest with him, like honesty. And like, I think that's how our relationship really worked, because at that moment I dropped all my friends. I dropped all of my acquaintances And I was committed to him 100%. Like, I had to.
So you pretty much did the same thing Robert Downey Jr. did. Robert Downey Jr. was into drugs, in and out of jail, and his wife told him, if you continue this shit, we're done.
Yeah.
And he completely cleaned himself for his wife. And we wouldn't have Iron Man right now if it wasn't for his wife.
That's right. It is. And it was an act of, it was an act of love too, because I say that for me, it was bad for me in a moment. It was the worst part. Now I will never compare myself to somebody who has a major addiction, or I might not even say I didn't have an addiction, because that might be a denying the fact that I actually was addicted. The point is I was using cocaine all the time. And when I was with Square, I was using while I was working for the bank. I was working for Capital One Bank. And remember I said that I met Square at the bank, and that he asked, do you want to go party? I was with him for maybe a couple more weeks. In fact, I was with him when I met my husband, which is Pants. And I didn't know what I kind of wanted, but I texted Jeff, and he kind of knew my situation, but wasn't really sure, because I had not let him on to that. I was not in that state of mind of like, I wanted to live my life, and I was going to do what I wanted, right? And I say right, but that's what I was doing. I was just living my life, and I wanted to go and hook up with Jeff. And when I kind of told him my situation, we kind of really just fell in love with each other. Like I said, that day I knew that I was going to be with him, because, for the rest of my life, we talked about everything under the sun. We talked about our favorite snacks, finishing each other's sentences. And just at that moment, we knew that we were meant to be with each other. And I ended up quitting my job within days. I think it was within literally days I quit my job. I went and picked up all my shit, literally that day I spent with him. Like I said, we didn't leave the house for 3 days. So that next time I did leave was to go get the rest of my shit from, from Square's house. And right. And I went and got my shit. And Jeff took me for who I was at the moment, all my flaws. And he decided at that moment that he was going to help me heal. And he was just coming off of losing his mom a year prior to that, and being there with his mom. So he was going through a lot emotionally that I took not for granted, but not into consideration. And I talk about this often, that in order to heal or to be in a relationship with somebody, you have to accept that they had some traumas in their life. I was so built on my traumas. I was so built on my life and where I was at. Remember I told you that you were going to find out who I was. I was a mean person. When I say a mean person, I wasn't out there doing bad to people. But I was mean to my body, to myself. I was doing drugs. That was mean to myself. I stole money from my mom's boyfriend, and I never told her. I say boyfriend, they were together for 30 something years. I never claimed him as my dad or stepdad, because he was never that. And that's a whole nother story that when you want to read my book, it's in there in detail, our relationship and how it never worked out and how he never was there. And Jeff embraced me. Maybe I had some daddy issues, but I told him all the truth. I told him everything that I'd ever done in my past. I stole money. I stole $2,000, actually, is how much I stole. I was so mad at him for doing something to me when I was younger. And basically, taking my mom away from me, and always wanting her to be happy. And I didn't care what the shit I went through. Like I said, it's in my book. There's more details to our relationship that I was just open and on, and I took money from him. I thought that was revenge on him. And like I said, that's a bad person. To me, that's a bad person to steal, especially for my parents. But I did. I took the money. And when I met Jeff, like I told you, I decided honesty was the best policy for me, and I lived my life by that, because I told my mom honest truth. And that was one of the first confessions I told my mom. And then when Jeff decided he wanted to marry me, he's like, I want to marry you. And I was like, I took it as a joke at first. Remember, I didn't take him and his feelings and his traumas into consideration. At first, it was all about me. And I was like, this guy loves me. He wants to be with me. And I kind of was like, you have to go ask my mom, my grandma for permission. I kind of being cocky and arrogant about it, but at the same time, like, wow, will he really do it? Right. Like, does he love me that much? And I confessed all these, my deepest, darkest secrets, all these confessions to him that I've never told a soul. And he knew about my rape. He knew about the molesting. He knew about, you know, me being hurt at school. He knew about my mom. And this was the one person I'd ever told any of this to. And he's like, yeah, I agree. I'll go ask your mom and your grandma for your hand in marriage. And I was like, whoa, like what? Like, shit. Like, are you kidding me? I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, all right. Okay, cool. So in true Marlena fashion, we drank. I mean, we drank on the draw, like drank drinking driving. And that kind of became a norm. We drank on the way down. It was a 2-hour drive to Brady, and that kind of started off with like it being cool to drink. Like I said, it was in days that we met, and it was kind of like we were drinking all the time. We drove to Brady, we were drinking, so we always had a beer or wine in our hand. And I bring it up for the main purposes is that he did ask for my hand in marriage, and he went down there and he presented himself to my mom. My mom's like, oh my God, Marlena, this is the guy I want for you. This is the guy you're going to marry. And I started laughing. I was like, Mom, hey. I was like, guess what? She's like, well, I was like, he's got something to say to you. And she's like, what? And he's like, yes, Miss Galindo, I love Marlena. I want to marry her. She's like, what? And she's like, get out of here. And he's like, I want to marry her. So my mom, in all her enthusiasm and excitement, just was eager to share the news with like everybody. And it just so happened, like a lot of our family was there. And we were drunk, and we were already drunk by the time we got there. And I just say that because drunkenness played a big part in a lot of what happened in some years to follow, but and especially with my lying. But because, like, my uncle happened to be there, and he was like, my mom came out, and she was like, she shared the news of us getting married or engaged. And my uncle real quick turned to Jess and was like, well, why in the hell do you want to marry her? Like, wow. What do you see? Like, just real quick. And Jeff was like, because I love her. And he just like started to let in on me. And this is the same uncle that put soap in my mouth, and the same uncle who told my mom to whip my ass until she was tired. He was the one sitting there. So then he was like, and I don't know, you can't tell on your pod. Well, you can tell you, but people can't see that I have alopecia and I have really thin hair. But it was a lot worse than this when I was in my early 20s. I'm regrowing my hair back because I've gone to the dermatologist, but in my 20s, it was a lot thinner, and I had not accepted alopecia, nor did I even know that's what the hell was going on with me. And I was still coming into the acceptance of being who I was, being the honesty. My uncle was like, and she's fucking bald. Maybe she didn't say fuck. Maybe he didn't say the word fucking bald. He might have said
he might, bald. He should have.
He said fucking.
He might.
Yeah. Well. And he was like, on top of that, she's bald. And I said, well, and he was like, is it all the drugs you're doing? And I was like, and it kind of, he didn't know I was doing drugs. Nobody knew I was doing drugs. Jeff knew I was doing drugs. My mom didn't even know I was on drugs. My cousin knew I was on drugs because he was doing drugs with me. But nobody, like, really knew I was doing cocaine.
They do now.
And not that would have made my hair fall out anyway, but he said it. And I said, no, it's because I have cancer. Like a dumbass. You know, and I said it in spite. I said it to be, you know, to be spiteful.
Right.
And I was mad and angry, but Jeff was like, nah, you're not going to play that game. Like, and in that moment, I just was like, dude, this is the man I'm going to be with the rest of my life. This is, I love this man, and he accepts me for who I am, and he fucking had my back whenever I pulled some shit like that. You know, I told him my worst confession was stealing that $2,000. You know, I said I was upset about it, and you know, he still loved me. He was still here. And all these people in my family were still talking shit about me. Like, we were drinking with my cousins. My cousin's like, why the hell you want to be with her? She's a whore. you know, she's the biggest whore in town. And she sleeps with, you know, like telling him all this shit. And I'm just like, I'm like, my husband, and then Jeff's like, Marlene, do you know that your family's saying this shit about you? And I'm like, what? Like, you're shitting me, right? So drinking just got spiraled out of control for both of us. And Jeff ended suffered from alcoholism. I don't know if you know the definition of alcoholism, but it's not only genetic, but it's also a product of your environment. And I was not making his environment a good one to be in. I was making it worse. You know, with my shenanigans and my shit and my crap going on in my head and, you know, not figuring it out. And then he was drinking. He lost his mom. We weren't dealing with his traumas, with his hurt, with his pain. I was just making shit worse, dude. And it was just like fight. I had this great man who was loving me through everything. I loved him. He loved me. But we couldn't get past this, you know. We just couldn't get past all that. We'd bicker. We hear this shit.
No, go
we'd
ahead.
We'd share this shit and we'd fight. You know, I'd start shit and then alcohol would escalate it.
It's funny you bring that up. A ton, I always say that there was this one individual that tried to hook up with me when I first left the mother of my kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a drinker, right? I don't drink. I mean, yeah, once in a while, once in a blue moon, I open a beer. But with this individual, I drank maybe 3 days straight. We were drinking every day for 3 days, 4 days, and I was not liking who I was becoming. And then I told her that I was done. I was done because this is not the person that I want to be. And I told her, I can't keep up with you. I can't keep up with you. And because I was, like you said, I was already going through my shit of events in my life. Now I'm adding more shit of events in my life by adding alcohol to it.
And alcohol only makes things worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I told her, I'm sorry, I can't keep up with you. And I told myself, this person, I'm not going to support her habits. So I didn't even give her a chance.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, like, it is hard. I wasn't a drinker. I say I wasn't a drinker, but I lie. I was. And I think I encouraged a lot of the drinking as if it was okay. So, you know, it was not just socially acceptable. I mean, we were drinking every day and it was making it more problematic. Like, it was just causing so many more problems. And we don't drink now. We're both sober. But I thought that. I thought, like you're like, I don't want to be with it. I thought that the only rational thing in my whole relationship past, it was, you know, what's the word? Fight or flight, right? And by that time, we'd already had our son. And I was like, and then my daughter came along. And I was like, fight or flight, right? I was like, this is just getting worse. By that time, I had moved him back to our hometown. And I was like, if I take him back to my hometown, I'll have family there to support me. They'll help me watch him, whatever. I was just a dumbass. It made things worse. So in my rationality, I thought I should get a divorce. And that is what I did. I filed for a divorce. We were married. My babe Danielle was about to come. I think she was like 1 year old when I decided to get a divorce. And I got a divorce. And during that time, he was doing his thing and I went on and did my thing. And he was trying to recover from alcoholism. Like I said, it's a product of environment too. And I wasn't helping that environment. And then adding on to this shit, nobody helping. I didn't have anybody to encourage me, Marlena, calm down. Like if I had somebody say, maybe you should think about what's going on before you jump into conclusions, or maybe you should get help, or maybe y'all should talk, maybe you should figure out why he's drinking instead of just jumping to this conclusion or jumping to this ultimatum, like work things out. If somebody would have told me to work fucking shit out, I would have listened because that was the type of person I was. I was listening to people and I was listening to everybody. I was like, oh, you should divorce and he's a piece. I was doing that. Like the same people telling him that I was crap were telling me that he was crap. And the truth is we knew who we were with each other. We know that. And I know, you know, now knowing what I know, that's why I preach. You have to help your spouse. You have to accept that there has been some trauma and you have to be willing to help them heal. Because if they're willing to be there to help you heal, you need to take time to listen so that they can heal as well. And he was willing to be there long enough so I could heal. I didn't respect him enough to do that for him. Instead of I went and divorced him. I was like, tough love, because you know what? That's what my family taught me. That's what I learned. Right. That was something I was learning. So break, you know, so that was my mistake. And during that time, I hooked up with this guy who had told me he was a police officer. He told me he was an attorney. He talked a big game, yada. Long story short, again, you can read the most details in my book, but long story short is he ended up hitting me several times and threatening me and my family. And he ended up putting a gun to my head. And all I could think is, I want my husband back. And all this during time with him, I was like, the grass is not greener on the other side. That's when I learned my lesson. And I started manifesting. I want my husband back. And I started praying to whoever God was for me. And I started to say, I want, and I started to speak it into existence. Me and Jeff are going to get back together. This is going to work out. I'm going to do the best I can because my husband's coming back to me. And at this time, Jeff didn't want anything to do with me because I chose to leave him. I chose to take his kids away from him. That was me. And, you know, all he was doing in reality, and I look, and it's not even I looking back, because the worst thing he ever did was get drunk and pass out. To me, in my rationality, he was a drunkard. To me, he was an alcoholic. But alcoholism, you need help. And there were so many things I could have done to prevent him from getting too drunk. You know, maybe I shouldn't have yelled at him that way. Maybe I could have spoken to him differently. Maybe I could have thrown the trash out instead of waiting for him to get upset because it was overflowing. There's always something that you can do. There's always something. There's always a solution. And I just wasn't finding that. So I prayed and I manifested. I was like, God, I want my husband back. I do. And a year later, after I had to go through what I went through, like I went through it, like CPS was going to take my kids away. Family members were talking shit about me, saying I was on meth. CPS came in. I was like, I went to court and I took court. I was like, told the judge, they're just like, we're going to have to start taking drug samples from you or pee samples. And they're like, and I said, you can, what else? We'll take something better. You want a hair follicle test? And they're like, yeah, in fact, we'll take hair follicle. I said, well, take that shit. And I ripped off my wig because at the time I was wearing a glued down wig. And I was like, take it. I said, I'm bald anyway. And they were just like, they're going, they were shocked. But I was not on drugs. The only thing I had done was smoke marijuana. And I had admitted that in court. And I said, I will quit smoking marijuana. I said, that's it. And the judge, and at the time, they're like, marijuana, like they were looking for methamphetamines. They were looking for crystal, like all this other stuff that they were saying I was on. That this one individual that I was involved with, that was the person saying all this stuff about me. He was manipulating my family's minds. He was telling my family this, and he was trying to, like, CPS was going to get my kids away from me because of this guy I was with, you know. And they were like, you cannot be, they can't be around this guy. You know, there was restraining orders, there was protection orders. Like, it was bad. And I was, all I could do was think about was, God's going to answer my prayer and he's going to get me back with my husband. I know that God's putting me, I know that God's not putting me through this. Is I have to go through this to realize that I have to work on it. And that's why I preach this. God's not going to give you a perfect package. It's good. You're going to have to work on it. God gave me Jeff, and I was supposed to work with him, and I didn't. The first thing I did was I thought about myself. That's not what you do when you go into a relationship. And that's what I preach to people now. When you find somebody you love and you care about, and they might have a little flaw, you work on that. And you try to help that person, because I can't think of anybody else I'd rather spend my rest of my Saturday nights with. I'd rather be out there changing the brakes on my tires because he's got me a Lexus, because I have a home.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'm happy that I had to go through all of those things, you know. And in the end, I'm happy with who I am. And I keep talking sometimes. I tell my husband, I want a career. Like, I'd love to go be able to have a career and do all these great things like these women do and be a boss lady. I said, but I'm also very blessed and humbled and grateful that you allow me the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom, that you provide this beautiful home that's almost, you know, it's a gorgeous home, you know, that we paid for ourselves, that we remodeled ourselves. We have two paid-for vehicles, you know, and if we're out there changing the brakes on our vehicle to save, you know, $500 or $600 so that we can, you know, do something different in life. I'm for that, you know, because I don't have to work. I don't have to. I get up and I take care of my children. And, you know, guess what I do for 8 hours? I sit on my ass on the couch and I watch the Animal Planet. Or I sit with my dog because now I have Dallas and I wait till 3 o'clock till my kids get home. No, I lie. I wait till 2:45 and then I go sit out for an hour at their school and wait for them to get off of work or at school. And then I come home and I fix them something and I wait for my husband to come home. And guess what my husband says? He tells all his clients, I like to be home no later than 6 o'clock because I want to have dinner with my family and I do not work the weekends. And if he can do that and he can go and make a living for ourselves, for us. And I remember I told you the past couple of years, I've taken a backseat to any project. He's allowed me to do that. I'm only 39 years old.
Yeah.
39. I have everything I want. And I had to learn these lessons. I do. I literally have everything I want. And it's not because I'm spoiled. Like, I have diamonds. I wear nothing but diamonds. I have a Lexus. I'm going to brag a little bit about material things, but it's not about those things. And it's not that I got those things. I got most of that stuff on clearance. You know, my car is a used car. We remodeled our home. But guess what? It came with work. And I had to go back. I had to suffer for that 1 year. And I suffered. Oh, hell did I suffer. And he suffered for a year to realize that we need to work with each other to make this life, to create something more joyful, to create a legacy, to leave our children happy with something that they can be proud of. And mostly that starts with us being together and breaking generational curses and talking and having a healthy relationship with our kids, because shit, man, people don't have that nowadays and people need that nowadays. They need their parents. You need somebody at home. And I know that it's hard, but even if you're working, you know, a part-time job, try to show up as much as you can. Even to the smallest things, even if your daughter gets a piece of art into the art show, show up for that. Even if you're an hour late, you show up for it. You make those memories and you stay committed. Even if you show up in your jeans that have paint on them, or if you're a coal miner, you have coal on your boots.
The guy that came to his daughter's thing covered in coal. Uh-huh. From head to toe?
Right.
Yep.
That's right. And that's what I tell my husband, too. And I'm not ashamed. You know, I used to show up every day to my daughter's school to pick her up in my overalls, my pecheras, and they were covered in paint and plaster. And the teachers, oh, my God, Marlena, you're so cute. Oh, my God, how can you pull that outfit? I'm like, girl, I work. Like, I'm on my knees doing, like, I go with, like, grout on my legs, or I'd have still, you know, tile on, you know, grout or something, whatever, mud on my pants, and they would think it's an outfit. And I'm like, dude, like, I just put on my knees.
This is a custom designed, you
know? Yeah. They're like, where did you get those overalls? You're always so cute. I'm like, this is like my work outfit. Like, this is my uniform. So, but because you know what? I had to suffer. And that's my message to people. That's my message to the world. And people talk about, what is your book about? And how are you a survivor? Dude, I survived a lot, but I'm so blessed to be here. It took a lot to get here, but there's these little things that I had to do differently, and I wish I could tell the world, and that's what I want to do, is I want to tell the world is that your spouse is worth it. Your children, they are worth it. I know that sometimes you get heated. I know that sometimes you feel like, dude, the grass is fucking greener on the other side. I've been there. I've had everything in the world. I've had the top of the world. I've had the riches of the riches. I've had stuff thrown at my feet, you know, giving me the world. And I would not trade any of what my life is right now for any of that. I don't want any of it. I don't want the Barbados vacations. I don't want the, you know, the 5-carat diamond ring. I want my husband. I want my family. I want those memories. And guess what? Because I'm happy, because I'm humble, and because I'm humble, we have our home, our 5-bedroom home. We have our 2 cars. I have my beautiful diamond ring that, I mean, I think he paid way too much for. And because he went to Jared's, let me throw in Jared's real quick, because you know Jared's is overpriced. So you know what I'm saying? I have all those things that I dreamt about when I was a little girl, thinking of them the wrong way. Like, I want to marry a rich man. I want to be able to do this and that. And guess what? It's just, I have a rich man because we have our family. I have a rich man because we have all these memories. And it's not even about wealth. It's not. It's because he cares about his family to be home every night, because he cares about his family to let me be home every day. You know, his kids don't want for anything. I don't need for anything. You know, we're not one of those families that, like, you know how, like, you take your kids, you take, sometimes you go to kid, your store with your kids and your kids are like, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? Can I have that? You know, my kids, I didn't have to, like, tell them that. And it's not because, like, it's because he overproved. And they're like, how did y'all do that? And it's not because we spoiled them. It's, I always say, you give them an overabundance of it that they appreciate it. My kids, like, don't have to have all those things. They appreciate this. We've talked about even gifts for Christmas or birthday gifts, how they plan all year long for what they want, even if, you know, we're fully capable of affording it now or whatever they want. I'm just saying all those things happen, and it can happen for anybody if you're willing just to step back, if you're willing just to listen to your partner, if you're willing to communicate, and stop beating your stop. Oh, a lot of it's to stop overthinking the situation. Like, there's a lot of times you're in your head, and for me, it's jealousy. Jealousy is a big one. I know my husband's not going to go out there and do shit on me. I know that, but you know how long it took me to really, 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 really realize that? A long fucking time. Like, at least 10 years to finally get over that. After knowing he was married to me, he was coming home to me every day because of my shit that I had to put up with, because of all those other guys that fucked me over, you know? It was still a lot of trauma that I had to heal. And guess what? He stuck it out. And if he could do it, and all the shit I put him through, because good God, Nord, oh my God, he could write his own book about the shit I put him through. So, and it would be a bestseller for sure, because he's very articulate. So, but man, I give my husband a lot of credit, and a credit where credit's due, because he's so patient. And it was nice to be able to have, and I had to learn that he was patient. And even if he said it and I saw it and I saw his work, you know how people say your action, it still took me a long time. So I always want to tell that to people too, is that you have to practice your patience, because change does not come overnight and it does not come fast. It took years for me to change, but it's very real, and you can do it, and it can happen. And that's the message. That's my message to the world. That's my message to people.
Well, let's go back to what the therapist told my wife. Patience. So, and she's managed to, she tolerated my fucking tantrum yesterday. She tolerated my tantrum on Friday, where my kids are like, you know, Dad, calm down.
And what do you do? And do you do for her too?
What happened?
Like, you said patience. She has patience with you. Are you learning to have patience with her?
I learned her upbringing, and I can't blame everything she does on. So it's, yeah. Yep. Practice patience.
Yeah.
Practice.
It's practice patience for sure. And I've had to learn. My husband taught me that. And that's why I said, I'm so grateful that God gives me people. God always puts people in your path. And I'm not so a religious person, but I talk about God a lot because of my grandma. I know God exists. And in whatever form you want to believe him in, however you want to take him, I don't ever put religion or any one specific religion down anybody, you know, to anybody to preach that. But I believe there is a God. And I know he exists because, like my husband says, and my husband always said, you know, when I was growing up, I always manifested, I want a man of God, I want a man of God. And I thought a man of God meant in the church, raising his hand to God, singing. That's not the man of God that God gave me. Man of God that God gave me is a guy who does walk in faith. And he tells me every day. And he's the one who reminds me, even if I'm going to cry. because I was raised with my grandma, raised me in faith, raised me in the church. I know the Bible inside and out, and I had denied it. And one of those people who question it, and I'm like, well, if God's real, then why did he do this? And but it's my husband who reminded me after all the shit I put him through and all the crap he went through. He says, baby, you know, it, little things, babe, that's how you know God's real, because I find it in this. Or he'll find a nail. I needed this today. I needed this exact one. And that's how you know God is real. Or he'll say, so, or he'll bring home something. I'll be like, thank you, babe. He's like, that's how you know God is real. I just knew you needed that. And I'm just like, that's how you know. That's how you really know God is real. And you see it in the little bitty things. And I'm no preacher. I'm not here to talk to you about the Bible. I'm not here to talk to you about God or Jesus, or I'm not that. That's not me. But that's how you know that there's something bigger in life. Is because I manifested, and I say I manifested, and I use that word because I read, have you heard of The Secret? It's called, it's a book or a story or a DVD. It's called The Secret. You could Google it. The Secret is a way, it's a way of life, it's a teaching, and it is about manifesting. It's about putting it out into the world and speaking it into existence. And somebody gave me that DVD, and I watched it. And I kind of like implemented a lot of what it was saying, but I also implemented what my grandma said is pray for it. And I kind of found praying for it and manifesting to be kind of the same thing. I know God's not going to answer every single prayer because you don't pray for certain things, right? But I felt like manifesting it and putting it into the world. Like I said, I'm not preaching one religion, but I feel like in all religions or all types of healing or natural, spiritual, whatever commitment you want to make, I believe it's manifesting, praying, speaking it into existence. So even if you're telling God or you're praying it, God, I need to really get this job. Maybe you're manifesting, I really want to get this job, and you're speaking it. And that's what I did. And that's what I want people to do, is believe what you speak. Because even the, and I don't want to quote the Bible, but you believe what you speak, even if you speak it, it's going to come. It's going to come forth. And I wanted my husband, I wanted Jeff back, and I wanted our life to be better. And it has been. And the more I do that every day, and it's not even, it's changed every day. Tomorrow I want to be a better person for my kids. Tomorrow I want to, you know, I want to do something better for the world. Maybe I want to do something better for my family.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it's funny that you brought that up about your husband taking you back. I just had a conversation on Tuesday with the mother of my kids because she's been having health concerns. And I've been checking up on her every other day, or a random text, how are you feeling today? And she'll tell me I was at the hospital or so-and-so, whatever. And like, oh my God, again. And, you know, she'll vent about her medical condition and stuff. But we were talking about, you know, I'm like, kind of sucks that you're, you know, single right now because you don't have that partner to help you out. And then she started talking about, you know, maybe her ex, maybe, you know, they're talking again and probably taking her back. And this is where I gave her a heart-to-heart conversation. And I told her, I'm like, look, I don't know your ex because I didn't live with your ex, but I've known you. I lived with you for 6 years, and I've known you for a little over 20 years now. And I know you. And if you really want this relationship to work again, you need to take ownership of your BS, because you accused me of cheating for a long time, and we've been separated for 13 plus years, and I can tell you right now, I never cheated on you, but yet you always put that shit in your head. Why? Because you have insecurity issues, you have daddy issues, you have mommy issues. Then she started talking about her mom, and I'm like, I want you to really think about this one and tell me. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to really think about it before you answer that question. Does your mom earn the title of mom? Did your mom earn that title? And she looks at me. She will, because I called her on FaceTime real quick, and I was about to start driving, so I was like, I can't have the Bluetooth on, so it had died on me, and she said no. She know I'm then, because she says that that's the only family she has. I'm like, but if she, you don't even consider her, if she has not earned the title of mom, then she's not family. shit, I'm more family to you than your own mother is. Mm-hmm. So if you have an ex that is going to take you back after the bullshit you put her through, and because it's also a girl, the bullshit you put her through, you need to realize then who's the problem. You got to mm-hmm. take accountability. You have to own up to your shit, and you can't continue to drive people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because after so many relationships, you're pushing 40. Don't say that. You're pushing 40, and what do you have yourself to show? What do you have to show for? The fact that you live in a converted garage? And I'm as brutally as honest as I can
me with too. Her
because of the shit that she put me through.
Yeah.
And I just, it's funny, like you say, you're bringing up about your, I didn't even know you had broken up with your husband. See, we didn't prep anything this week. And, so, I mean, like, here we have someone that I've known for a long time and the shit she put me through. And I know that's probably the same shit she put. I'm like, the thing is that you like to argue. You may not, like, one day they asked me, dude, is your fucking baby mom on drugs? No, but your drug is to argue. That's how you feed off of shit. Mm-hmm. It's like you hate the world and you want everyone to hate the world with you. But guess what? The world's not against you.
Mm-hmm.
It's you.
Yeah.
And she was sitting there and she took it all in. And I mean, hopefully she does. I mean,
I hope she does, because my husband has to constantly remind me that sometimes it was me and it's all in my head. And that's a big struggle. That's a big thing because of the shit that's happened to me. It was in, a lot of it's in my head. I mean, and being, and also another thing that affected me was being the only child. I'm always by myself, so I was always left to, that's emotional trauma. It's having to be left alone to deal with your own emotional baggage, your own emotional shit. So a lot of times, you know, I'm left alone to deal with that on my own, that I don't know how to process that. I don't know how to handle it. So I just want to argue. I want to have the last word. And Jeff's like, I'm not arguing with you. Just, and that's, remember I told you that he just stops and he tells me, I love you anyway. Did I tell you, was it that? Or was it with Dr. Sims? I was telling, I think it was us. We spoke when he's like, it was one of our first conversations. Remember I told you about the joke about the cape and, you know, put it on, but now you're super mad or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's that. It's when he tells me, you know, it doesn't matter because I still love you. We were arguing about some, I think, it wasn't even an argument. It was like a discussion. But my discussions can get a little bit wild because I get back to that mentality of like, I need to be right or I need to have the last word. And he was like, I'm stopping. This is stupid. He's like, I'm leaving. I was like, okay. And then he's like, can I have my kiss though? It's that kind of shit, you know, is know that I'm still going to be a little bitchy or jealous. I still am very jealous. I mean, shit, my husband's fucking good looking. He's ripped. He's like gorgeous. Like, I don't want you to go. It's my freaking Chihuahua. We went to Tom Thumb and I was like, I cannot leave y'all alone for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because there's somebody always coming up to him. Well, this time it was two guys and they were both, they're both gay guys. And they didn't see me and they, of course, they see Jeff with this little bitty dog and they were just like all in love and he even did a little kick back. Oh my God, it was the cutest thing ever. And I said, damn, I told Dallas, I was like, you're supposed to be protecting dad and, you know, keeping strangers away. Here you are doing the opposite. I was like, you're attracting. I was like, can't leave y'all nowhere. But I'm still a little jealous. I ain't gonna lie. And it bothers me up a storm. And you know that he still has all of his female clients because he's a handyman. I mean, not a handyman, they think he is. And it's, Jeff, can you come get this balloon out of my ceiling fan? Well, okay. Or it's stupid stuff. Can you hook up my water hose? it's oh my God. But he gets paid for it. And what do I say? You know, he gets paid a lot of money for an hour of his time. And I still get jealous because these women are texting him 8:30. they want this, they have a list of honeydews. I'm like, ask your fucking husband. But then, you know, the mentality is, well, I can pay somebody. And then in my head, well, he's good looking. Of course, why not pay him? So it all goes back to fucking shit. Women are all, I'm a woman. I'm so jealous. And I mean,
as long as he does not come home and say, people are really friendly here. Jim Carrey and Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Oh, it wasn't that funny.
Oh, got me. That's funny. That is funny. But yeah. Oh, but I love my husband. I love my man. I really do.
That's good.
And the past couple of days, I've been a little bit over. He's like, damn, your hormones been raging. Because I've been telling him, I was like, babe, God damn. I was like, have I told you I love you lately? Like, I really, he's like, I know. He's like, shut up already. I was like, okay, just making sure. Yeah. And he's been going to the gym a lot lately. And I'm like, damn. Like, I really.
No, don't talk to me about the gym, man. I went this morning and I'm feeling it. Because the medication that I started taking said that I shouldn't be doing heavy workout. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the medication has already kicked in my system. That yeah. I went and did squats today. I haven't done squats in a month. And fudge. My legs are feeling like fudge.
Shit.
So
I need to go. I told him because the oldest, I told you, the oldest came back. And my excuse is my daughter doesn't want to go to the gym.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't been working out. Well, now that Marcus is back. I said, well, because we've been talking about doing more and more stuff together. That's why we were out there with the damn beach and breaks. We were doing something together. Because he asked me, he's like, you can go on a walk with me, but can you film me doing the Barbarian? He's doing this Barbarian. If you ever watched The Liver King, the Barbarian is you walk like a mile or 2 miles and you're holding like, you have this like 50-pound vest on. You're carrying like 20 pounds in each hand. You've got like ankle weights and you're like pulling the sled.
Right.
So he's like, you can go to the Barbarian with me. And I was like, are you asking me on a day? Are we going on a – he's like, I'm asking you to go on a walk with me, but can you record? I was like, you're kidding me. I was like, seriously? I was like, okay, but I'll follow you around any day for sure.
Well, Marlena, you kept your part of the contract. No lawyers will be coming after you since your 5 episodes are done and finalized.
Oh, wow.
I want to thank you again like I do every time. For coming on the podcast, for sharing your story, for actually being the new co-host of the Flat Tire Andy podcast / hashtag you suck, Ricky. And
Ricky.
And again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for taking time, sharing your story, and looking forward to maybe someday reading your book. I don't read a lot, so if you can have the audio version one, that'd be great. And like I end every podcast, Marlena, thank you for writing with me.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate your time. And you know what? We're always Still Them Boys.
Always.
Thank you for listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tire Andy podcast. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.